Hello and welcome to the Serious Games Podcast, all about playful methods for interactive trainings and facilitation. Let's get started.
And today we're connected to Tampa, Florida, directly to the U.S. with Lisa de Almeida. And I met Lisa over LinkedIn. I literally saw a post of you about a game that you've developed, the virtual world, a Scrum simulation. So I reached out. It took us a couple of weeks, and now we're here. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Yes, thank you. Hi, everyone.
So, why don't we just jump in directly? Two questions I like to start with. Number one, what should our listeners know about you? So who are you? What do you do? Why did you develop this game? And on the other hand, how would you describe this virtual world Scrum simulation in, let's say, 25 seconds, like a pitch?
All right. So I am an enterprise coach and trainer. My passion is really, really training instructional design. And so I developed this simulation to help students experience Scrum in a virtual setting, you know, when we had to transition in March due to the pandemic. Yeah, and it really allows students to experience building a product that is not software based, using all of the elements of Scrum, you know.
Okay, wow, great. And what brought you to this role and job? And can you share a little bit about your background?
Yeah, so I actually started my career in IT in the waterfall world. And then my company transitioned to Scrum, and I was in the first class of product owners. So that was my first role. I don't have a technical background. I have a business background. And then after a couple of years as a product owner, I decided to venture into the Scrum Master role. And I did that, you know, helped some teams become more productive. And then I just grew my knowledge, went to conferences, read books, went to meetups, and became a team coach and now enterprise coach. Yes.
Okay. Wow. Great. So let's talk about the simulation. So you surely mentioned the goal, and we now have some time to dig in a little bit deeper. What would you say what makes it different to all the other? Let me start like this. What makes it different to all the other virtualized Scrum simulations out there?
Yeah, it's, for me, it allows me as a trainer to take students all the way from visioning to, you know, daily Scrum, sprint review, and retrospective, right? So they get to experience the full journey, and as well as work in a Scrum team setting, you know, just to get more familiar with the dynamics of the process and the dynamics of a Scrum team, working more collaboratively and the specific roles and things like that.
Yeah, and my first impression was that it's fairly flexible. So what do you need to prepare? So let's say next week there's a training online. Of course, you want to use the simulation. How do you prepare the canvases? How do you prepare the students? How do you prepare yourself?
Yeah, so I have been using Mural. I'm sure that there's, you know, if you have a similar tool, you can leverage that. You can even probably use Google Drive with a little bit of, you know, setup. But typically this is in a 2-day class. I've used it in a day class as well. So the first thing is that students have to form their teams. You know, the teams are 4 to 6 team members, and then they select a role. You know, am I going to be product owner? Am I going to be Scrum Master, development team member?
So the product owner role would be one team, or is one product owner per team?
It would be one product owner per team. So it's just, like a Scrum team. Now, because it's 4 to 6 team members in a team, there are combined roles, right? So I may be product owner, but I also play as a development team member, meaning I do the work, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So that can happen as well. But it's nice because in the debrief, I actually pull that question to say, some of you had combined roles. What were some of the disadvantages you noticed? And that's really nice because some companies still, you know, have combined roles.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then my style of working the simulation is I'm trainer from the back of the room certified. So I want to make sure I don't do a lot of lecture without some activity exercises. So I normally introduce the concept followed by the practice. You know, so for instance, I introduce a vision. I typically use a vision statement by Jeffrey Moore, so that, you know, very simple syntax. And then I send students over to the breakout rooms and say, okay, now it's the time for you to create the vision for your product. Right. And so I work in that format with the lecture plus the practice throughout the whole simulation. Right. So we talk about refinement and then they get to refine. We talk about sprint planning. They get to plan the sprint. We talk about daily. They do their daily. And then we come together, reconvene at the end. And then we do a sprint review where I'm the stakeholder. I provide feedback on the product and then they do a retrospective.
Okay. So look, this is literally while the simulation is running. I have two questions for you. Number one is, how do you set them up at the very, very beginning? So even before the simulation starts, what do they need to know? Or could you play this with, let's say, any type of group that wants to get to experience what the Scrum framework, what it is like working in a Scrum dynamic?
Yeah, you can. It's just going to require the lecture, right? So that they understand what they do in each of the events, you know, they understand what a backlog is and how you seed or start that backlog. So you have to give a little bit of, you know, of that context. But in the setup, typically I show an example of my farm, you know, which was the first virtual product that I created, was a virtual farm, a tourism farm, just to give him the idea. And what I talk about is that this simulation really allows you to focus on the user journey, right? So it's like if you're inviting a user to your farm, a visitor to your farm, here's what you have. They are welcomed here. Then there's a station for this and they get to play here and so on. So they get the visual of the journey, right?
Yeah.
And then I ask them to form the teams and select a product. I started, it was a city, farm, or zoo. But since then, I've added island because we've been, you know, I've seen a lot of COVID-19 free islands. We just want to go elsewhere. A lot of students are wanting to go elsewhere and play with that concept. So I've added, you know, another part of the world.
Sounds great. So literally, you know, this is an easy part that facilitators can then tweak and adjust that to their needs,
yes.
Right? All right. So 4 to 6, well, I would assume that your classes are larger than that. So are you saying you're playing this with 3 to 4 teams in parallel?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. We have several.
And then on the same whiteboard then?
No. So each team has their own canvas. Each team has a room for their vision statement. If I'm doing product owner classes, I give a little bit of more steps. So they actually identify the user types in a bullseye with primary users, secondary user, and tertiary users. And then for that primary user, they develop a persona. And that, so that's all on the team canvas. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Wow. So and then I imagine you're going back and forth through lecturing a little bit and then letting them work on the specific content piece that you've just lectured. And then they come back and forward. So just from before we now, you know, go to this point where the simulation starts, but is this something you would play throughout a whole training setup? Or do you play this in several days? Or
No, it gets to a point in my class, and that's towards day two. But of course, if you are doing a single day, so it would be in the afternoon. So it's definitely, you don't start there because you have to level set on what Scrum is, you know, the definition, the agile principles, the roles, a little bit of explanation on the roles there before you can actually get to, okay, we're ready to build a product, you know, leveraging Scrum events. So it would be towards the second half of a class or second day of a class.
Second half. Good. So everything is well prepared. Any specific information on the canvas, on the mural or Myra board that you need, or is it just a blank canvas they start from scratch?
No, I have on the canvas all of the templates. So if it's Jeffrey Moore, okay. I have that syntax there. They just fill that in. For the users, identifying the users as a bullseye. So they just add post-its to that bullseye with the user types, right? And then if it's persona, I have a little persona template where they can pull in a picture for that persona, a quote for the persona, some of the pains and gains and feelings for the persona. Mm. So we've got templates for it. Okay. So each team gets their set of templates. Now, for the simulation itself, I just have a column for the product backlog so they can create user stories or, you know, product backlog items. And then I have a column for sprint backlog that has the board to do, in progress, done. And then a big space for, you know, to allow them to be creative for whatever they want to do.
Okay. All right. Understood. And then, of course, we assume that the learners know how to use the whiteboard tool, right? So you mentioned adding post-its, moving them around, maybe pulling up some pictures from the web or from the databases that are connected. Again, I know that you are showing those templates on your website. I will link those pictures and, of course, the website in the show notes so that our listeners can then have a look and see what your template looks like.
Yeah, now. Exactly.
Okay. Great. So they're all set up. First lecture over. They're turning over to their Myra board. So you wouldn't literally need to put them into breakout rooms, right?
Yes,
or they need to be in a closed group.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how does it start? How do they start? So you ask them to move over and to create the vision. Do you choose a table or group facilitator, or is this part of the Scrum Master role? How do they literally get their hands on the board?
They self-organize. So they do have the roles, mm-hmm. right? So typically there's a product owner in the group. And so the team may ask questions about, okay, what? Tell me more about this island. Is it for adults only? Tell me more about the zoo. Is it for, it's kind of a zoos and brews. That's one of I've seen, you know, we can drink while we go to the zoo. And then based on that conversation, they together create the vision. So I've seen students say, hey, who is going to write this time? So they kind of take turns to use the canvas, but they really self-organize. I just give them the syntax and the information to create that vision with the syntax.
Okay. And then, again, vision, customers, personas. How do they get started on the backlog then?
Yeah, I just ask them to see the backlog. I do mention user story mapping, prune the tree, and different, you know, techniques. But essentially, I give them 10 minutes to, you know, brainstorm together different user stories based on that vision that they've just created, right? Mm-hmm. And I typically do the brainstorm in two time boxes. The first 5 minutes is group brainstorm, so you're talking while you're writing down the post-its, and then the next 5 minutes is silence. I like them to experience both ways, because when I'm running workshops, I've noticed some differences in the creation of the backlog. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so backlog, sorting, and how does the building process then kick off?
Yeah, so we then say, okay, we need 10 minutes for backlog refinement. So they go back into their rooms and add more details to the items that they just created. They define also, with the help of the product owner, order of priority, right? So what do we need to work on first? And especially, I like to emphasize that we want to make sure that every sprint they have potentially a releasable product. So when they're making decisions about what to pull into a sprint, they have to think about, am I going to end up with a slide of something that I could potentially release to my customers or visitors, right? And so, so then they have a conversation. And then we start the sprint. A sprint typically has 2 days of work, right? And I give them around 7 minutes for sprint planning. So that's when they start building this French backlog, pulling the items from the product backlog, adding the tasks or detail on how they're going to get that item to done. And then I give them 10 minutes for day one to work. And that's actually building, starting to pull in images, build a framework. Sometimes they build roads and things like that. And then 3 minutes for the daily scrum before they have another 10 minutes for day two of work.
Okay. Oh my God. I really have the feeling that we need to list the timings because I've been trying to count. But I will ask you at the very end, how much has it taken total, quickest and longest time? But when you're referring to day one or the amount of work for about 2 days, that's an equivalent then for what? Because the question that I have is, you know, let's make an example. So I'm in this island and I really want to have this wonderful bar, right? Directly on the ocean and only my favorite drinks and great music and so on and so on. Now, how would I possibly estimate that? Because it sounds like a drag and drop job for the moral board, right?
It is a drag and drop board job, but it's a lot of conversation because they want to make sure that the product fulfills that vision and that they have, there's a little element of competition that their product looks better. So they want creative things like, you know, I don't know if this happened in Germany, but here in the US, we've been out of toilet paper. So a lot of students have toilet paper stations and things like that. So there's a lot of a lot of conversation to make it fun and creative and different.
All right. So you just don't want to have like a one picture dragged and drop from the web representing a bar. You really want to have a nice, beautiful representation with some details. And then it's like a collage.
Exactly. It's there, right? Exactly. You're right. Mm-hmm. It's a collage. Some students add text to it, you know, signs to it and things like that to enhance and to make sure that, you know, they can explain what's going on in that little station, you know, as visitors are moving. Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. Okay. And, you know, when I ask you what is different in this virtual simulation, of course, we all know, let's say, like a Lego Scrum City game, or in fact, there is a podcast episode in German, though, on the Lego Zoo simulation, right? And there also, you want to make it nice. You're just not going to put a few random bricks together, right? Yeah. You really want to make it look like a house or look like an aquarium or whatever you're building there, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, got you. But how would you, you know, estimate that? So to come to your sprint backlog, right? To make sure that it is, that you have the right amount of items, product backlog items in there. How do they estimate a bar versus a toilet?
Yeah, I don't think they get to any estimation at the time. I mean, if you mean about the task level, right? I think it's just we give them the time box for the work day, the 10 minutes, and then they work together. And it's in my experience, I get to watch them because I can go into the different murals while they're working, and I also can jump into the breakout rooms. In my experience, there's just a lot of swarming, to be honest with you. So they don't really focus on let's estimate or plan for the whole sprint. They say, okay, we need to get this one item done, you know, set that up. And then maybe 2-3 people are working on that and having ideas. So we can put a sign here. We can put, add the price for this here, you know. So it's, we can have a host or a concierge here. So they're just really working through how they want to visually display that particular item on the product, right? So they're not really necessary tasking and adding an estimate for like it's going to take us 3 minutes to do this or 1 minute to do this. It's just more of a, we got a 10-minute time box to create a slice of that product. Let's work on item number one.
Okay, got you. So these sprints and then planning. So you're going through all the ceremonies and that's how the flow then develops,
exactly.
Right? So let's see, what conclusions do participants draw while being in the simulation? What happens? Can you share a few stories on maybe even surprising things that you saw maybe in the early iterations also of the game where you said,
A lot of it has been around the level of detail that they need to make an item actionable. So a lot of times they mention, I wish we had more time or did a better job in refinement, which is a very common thing in the real world as well, right? Sometimes it is about how they're self-organizing, right? Sometimes it's that they didn't jump in with some sort of team agreement or rules, so there's a little bit of conflict, or there's overlap of tasks or duties, things like that, you know, which is really interesting because it's what happens, you know, in the trenches.
Okay. And any other common observations? So I understood that they're never looking at the competition in the room, right? So you have three different boards. Did you ever try playing it on one board where they can see how the other teams
just
are
to
progressing?
Add some stress? No, I have not. But I do have a coach who actually pinged me and said, hey, I'm adding a twist to your simulation. He adds a big sign in the middle of the sprint, and it's like, stop, Miro has a problem. This is an impediment. And then you're supposed to figure out that the scrum master has to go back to the lobby and, you know, leave the breakout room and try to remove that impediment. Mm-hmm. So you definitely can add some twists and turns to this. It's flexible enough. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. And maybe you can share some results that your learners came up with, and then I could add them to the podcast and the show notes.
Yeah, I'm just so excited about the creativity I'm seeing. I'm seeing a Labradoodle farm, which was extremely cute. Wow. Zoos and Brews. So that's essentially, you can go to a zoo and get some drinks along the way. I've seen adult only islands. They were not, you know, X-rated islands, but they were adult only. So I'm having a lot of fun with this.
All right. So the creativity, the flow, the things that they are discovering. But what are common, you know, maybe blind spots, things that your learners seldomly discover or that you really want them to discover and point that out in a debrief?
Yeah, I have some favorite debrief questions, which are, what did you learn? What made you successful? What was challenging? So that's when I typically hear about, okay, we needed more detail or we weren't very organized. I ask, what are the parallels between the game and real life? So what happened here in the simulation that happens, you know, in the office as well? And then the other one, which I mentioned before, which is, what are the disadvantages of combined roles, right? So some of you had combined roles, you're a product owner and a dev team member. What were some of the disadvantages there? Yeah. Sometimes I ask too, so what's, you know, what are the advantages of delivering products in this iterative and incremental way? Because in that very first cycle, a lot of them could open their island or open their zoo or open their farm already. They have enough. And so that would give them a leg up in terms of the competition.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And how do you facilitate this debriefing? Is this a conversation that then all of the groups do together, or do you deliberately mix them up so that they can also learn from the experiences of the other groups? And how is it recorded? What is your process there?
Yeah, so typically towards the end, we do a sprint review. So that's everybody. We're back from the breakout room. So everybody is doing review. We do one team at a time. Then I send them back to the breakout rooms for a short retrospective. They come back and share one action item. If they had a sprint, another sprint, what would they do differently? And then we debrief. So we debrief as a class, you know, so I ask these questions for the larger group. And then we just share whoever wants to share.
Okay. And we know that, you know, after an agile game or serious game or simulation, people experienced what it's like, they reflected, they had, you know, great fun, they've been in flow, they've had some aha moments and insights. How do you really make sure that they remember the learning outcomes and what they've experienced in their day-to-day after the class is over?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't know that I can go back and verify it, but for me, the importance of a game or a simulation like this is that some students haven't had a chance to experience the flow. And you can talk all day long about how a retrospective looks like, what you're supposed to do, you know, what the Scrum Master does, but it's a very, very different story when you actually you're on the hook to deliver a product and you have a time box and you have to lean on the events to make sure that you are efficient and effective, right? So that's, I'm having a lot of students that are looking for Scrum outside of IT. So they literally have no experience. They have not experienced the process. So this is really about creating a safe environment in which they can experience and then it's easier to get started when they go back to work.
And then they probably want to keep what they've created, right? Export the board and give it to them.
Yeah, we export the board and they get emotionally attached to it. Yes.
They surely do. They can't believe that. All right. So, and are there any, let's say either before, during, or after the simulations, are there any activities or maybe even little games that you found particularly suitable before, during, or after? So on top of this simulation?
Yeah, so I do orientation, mural orientation in my classes. So, I have some simple activities at the very beginning where I say, okay, I want you to pull a post-it, change the color, add the initials. And we have a practice area or orientation area where, students can do that. And then I say, okay, now bring a picture of something that brings you joy. So they get used to the notion of searching the library for pictures, importing pictures and things like that. And then I say, okay, add now an icon. So that's another menu. I do give them some guidance on how to, they can zoom in, zoom out, use the outline. So very basic functionality before they get started.
All right. Now, let's talk about timings here. So you mentioned day two, afternoon. I mean, are we talking about a 3-hour simulation? Of course, I know it depends on how much input you're giving in between. And of course, maybe how much they know and how much you want to discuss. Yeah. But could you give us a rough timeline here? I mean, is this something that can be done in 1 hour? Or would you say, no, you need at least X hours?
Yeah, so the time box for the simulation itself, not accounting for lecture, right? It's 50 to 60 minutes. You can do all of
that. Simulation only.
Yeah, so from backlog refinement all the way to retrospective. So if you don't want to do a vision or persona or any of that, you can do that in 50 to 60 minutes of simulation. Yes. Of course, if they've never heard about refinement or planning or a backlog, then you need to set that up, you know, make sure that you provide that information.
Well, I know that with the Lego City Scrum simulation and the physical learning environments, the trainer sometimes brings backlog items, vision, you know, and parts with them. Do you also sometimes do that, maybe to speed up the process or for any other reason? Because you're saying, well, it's not really the focus for them to do, let's say, user story mapping. So I'll just, you know, have that somewhat ready.
Yeah, absolutely. In my in-person classes with the Lego simulation, I do. I give them, I do a city and I give them already backlog items. You know, I went to build a church or a school or a kindergarten to speed it up. But I haven't had to do that in the virtual world because I have had the luxury of having more time to do my classes. But if you are, you know, pressed on time, you definitely can do that. You know, get some items already pre-filled out and then even refined with enough level of detail. So they just have to do a little edit refinement or, you know, have a discussion so you can shorten it that way.
Okay, understood.
You can also shorten the time boxes. So instead of 10 minutes, give 7 minutes for refinement. You know, I have done that depending on where I am in class. I just shorten the time boxes. The point is for them to really experience the flow and this notion of building product iteratively and incrementally. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I can really see that happening. And again, I really like the flexibility. As you mentioned, city, farm, zoo, islands, or any other mm-hmm. things that facilitators might want to come up with specifically for their target group. So what do you think? Have we covered everything? I understood it's set up, the boards, the timings, yeah. the roles, the input, the lectures, and the debrief, collecting that, and then making sure that the board gets exported.
The board gets exported. Yeah, I think a lot of students are having fun because we all have this longing for our favorite places, you know. So this is really mm-hmm. allowing them to go back to favorite spots. So yeah.
And I think even this could be a great, you know, especially when the team gets emotionally attached to the product, that's also a nice debriefing moment, right? It's like, well, you know, there's parts of the DNA of the framework and dynamics that really make sure that you deliver, right? That you make sure that you check in with your product owner.
Yes. And with, you know, with the sprint review, when I'm the stakeholder, you know, it's very, very obvious that if they're not close to the customers, they can go off in different directions or miss really mm-hmm. important steps. Mm-hmm. Like I've had COVID-19 free islands and they didn't have any step to ensure that people that were coming into the island were COVID free, you know, and so we find that out mm-hmm. in review. Yes.
Okay. So let's shortly talk about your role as a facilitator then. I understand, right? The input, setting everything up, adding them to the breakout rooms, et cetera, the technical parts. Now, if a listener wants to play this game, and we'll get into where they can, you know, access the material and then get insights shortly. But what are things that you need to look out for that you might even know that teams are struggling with, where they just need a little push or some help or some extra eyes in the
room? Yeah, so ideally, you're not doing this by yourself. You have a facilitator, so you have the help of someone who can jump into the breakout rooms. With it, which is nice about Miro and all of these virtual canvases, is that you can actually watch the students as they're building. So you can mm-hmm. see, okay, we're 5 minutes within this time box. I don't see anything yet. I better jump into the mm-hmm. room and help them out, right? Or a lot of times the students already know to leave the room and ask questions. So mm-hmm. it's just paying attention to that dynamic, watching the murals and jumping into breakout room from breakout room to help mm-hmm. out. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. So being present and just, you know, keeping the eyes and the hearts open, just to make sure you're not missing anything, and that you collect, you know, your impressions for the feedback. Then that's also.
Yeah. Important. Yeah. Another twist you could add, which if you have a team that's a little bit more mature, you can give them the full time box and say, okay, you're going to have, you know, 30 minutes to do your refinement, mm-hmm. planning, day one, day two, and your daily, and then we'll be mm-hmm. back for review. Yeah. And so you have your Scrum Masters help the team manage the time box and make sure everything gets done.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Okay, wow. Great. So let's see, what is the most unique experience you had with that simulation? Or how often have you played it so far? I mean, how many boards have you seen?
I mean, nothing like unique, but I'm just really pleased to see how creative people are, you know, how much fun they have in just seeing the proliferation of, you know, cities and zoos and islands out there as different trainers are using it. So that's what's been really fun.
Okay. Wow. Great. And for you, what is the secret sauce of the virtual world Scrum simulation? What makes it really work? Of course, you have Scrum, the lectures, the board, the emotional connection, but what makes it really work?
Yeah, for me, what makes it really work is allowing students to kind of pair up with me, you know, to learn these concepts, because mm-hmm. the way I do in interweaving the lecture and the practice, It gives them a really nice break in the virtual world where I'm not lecturing for an hour about sprint planning and they have no idea, you know, what this looks like, right? Mm. So for me, it's just this setup where we can teach them a concept, spend 10 minutes on that concept and say, okay, now you go do it. That's kind of the secret sauce of making it work.
Okay. And of course, as a training from the back of the room practitioner, we would never lecture for an hour. And in fact, you know, I think, you know, in this virtual learning environments, you even have to do shorter time boxes on lecturing. I mean, let's talk about, you know, 7, 8, 9 minutes, 10 minutes, and then
adding some interaction. Yeah. So that's kind of the secret sauce. It's that this allows you to have that interaction as you're teaching some pretty, you know, heavy and long concepts.
All right. Lisa, I have two final questions. Number one, what is your ultimate facilitation tip? And that is not only for the virtual world Scrum simulation, maybe just in general. What would you shout out to our listeners?
I think it's just, it's important in the virtual world to repeat your instructions and then, you know, verify that students understand, you know. So I'm concentrating a lot on that, you know, repeating a couple of times and saying, okay, this is again, or giving them an example. Okay, so this is what the vision statement would look like for my city, you know, for my farm. Remember, I had a farm. So giving them examples so when they are in the breakout rooms, they know what to do and they're all engaged.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. And, well, this is my final question. Now, if a listener wants to play and facilitate the virtual world, either themselves or want to learn more about it, what should they do?
Yeah, they can definitely reach out to me. I'll be happy to share, you know, more details. I'm trying to put you know, examples of the templates in the virtual Scrum simulation site. And that's all free. Mm-hmm. It's out there. So just reach out to me in LinkedIn. If you have questions, I'll be happy to give an overview, provide more information.
Perfect. Perfect. So there's no certification process that we now need to go through.
Nope. It's all free. And the only thing I ask is that reach out and let me know how it went and share some of the results.
Yeah.
So that we can continue to add twists and turns.
Right, right. And I will link, again, also your LinkedIn profile and the website and bits and pieces that you mentioned throughout this episode. Wow. Thank you so much that we could pick your brain on the game that you created. Again, I love that it's so flexible. You need a whiteboard and then you're ready to go.
Yeah.
You need to, of course, make sure that you know the steps and that you get the timings right. And of course, make sure that the learners are comfortable with A, they know what they're doing, but B, they know which role adds to the final product in which way. And of course, that they're then present so that they can not only in the sprint review look upon what they've created, but also in the debrief of the simulation, see how the bits and pieces can serve them in
right.
their
day-to-day. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. A big thank you to Florida. Lisa, thank you very much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Stay well.
We will. And you too. And to all our listeners, stay safe. And listen to the other episodes of the Serious Games podcast. And of course, not only Lisa, also I am looking forward to your feedback. Reach out, LinkedIn, email, or your favorite podcast player. Till next time, bye-bye. You can reach us at hello@keylearning.net. We're looking forward to your suggestions, comments, and feedback.